Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Sky Sitney
and Diana Jean Shemo,
who are the founders and festival directors of the Double Exposure Investigative Film Fest, which runs from October 10th through the 14th, Wednesday through a Sunday. Thanks so much for coming in. It's always a highlight every year having you in.
Thanks so much. We love being here.
Yeah, it's our highlight to see you.
Aw, I see it's mutual. No, but the reason I love it so much is not only is it great movies, but I feel like we got it on the ground floor. What year are we in now? Fourth, right?
Fourth edition this year.
Yeah, so I felt like we kind of got in ahead of the curve. You guys came in talking about this great new movie, Spotlight, that was going to kick off your inaugural one, and lo and behold, it went on and won Best Picture.
Exactly.
And then every year you've had other great movies since then. So just give me a sense, before we get into the actual slate, how much the festival itself has grown, or what you guys have sort of learned after doing it for 3 years in the past already.
So I think the most obvious thing is that we've gone from 3 days to 5 days now. We start Wednesday night and we run all the way through Sunday night. And we have a slate of 15 films this year. So that's new and, you know, bigger than ever before. And the other thing I would say, just sort of the overview thing, is that we kind of, you know, anticipate a little bit of what's happening now in terms of the press and the role of the press being beleaguered and needing public support. That's really was the animating principle behind Double Exposure, and I think the events of the last year have made that more pressing and more obvious than ever. So it feels really timely this year.
Absolutely. Well, how many, so you got it down to 15. How many submissions do you get, or is it more you guys going around the country curating, or how does that actually happen?
It's funny to say you got it down to 15. We feel like we got it up to 15, but because we're very specific and we're very niche and actually deliberately don't have a major open call. We do it. It's largely built on curating. We solicit a lot of films and indeed travel to festivals to look for work. And at this point, have established great relationships with filmmakers and the journalist community. We do, at our discretion, welcome some submissions, but we don't want to be embroiled in a content, you know, 2,000 right. films vying for 15 slots. That would just be...
Well, I think that's cool. That's partly what I think sets this apart and makes it an interesting festival, too, is that it's... Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of other great festivals that just open call thousands of submissions and then they have judges that pare it down. But for you guys, it's almost like we're going to handpick a selective slate that you guys, that's going to knock you out. And so this year we got it up to 15. remind us what venues we're at.
So opening night is, as always, at the National Portrait Gallery. And subsequent screenings are at the Naval Heritage Center, which is Pennsylvania Avenue, right nearby the National Portrait Gallery.
Awesome. Can't wait. And that's right by the National Archives. Down there,
that's
you
right.
mean? Down, oh,
exactly.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Right by the little fountain.
Right
you
by
go
the
down,
metro. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, cool. This is awesome. So, yeah, both by the metro. No excuses. Get out.
That's right.
Okay, well, let's move a little chronologically on some of the bigger marquee events we have here. So, opening night, what is showing? Why should we come?
So, opening night, we are showing Watergate, which is a new film by Charles Ferguson. And it is going to, it's by A&E and it's going to be on History Channel eventually, but we're showing the first 2 hours of 4 episodes. And what's great about this film is it's kind of taking this iconic story that really galvanized a generation of people into reporting, but actually breaking it down for a new generation. And it's doing it in a very current way. It's taking the archival footage, the secret recordings that Nixon made in the Oval Office, and sort of using that as the spine to tell a story that is being reenacted by actors on the screen. All of their dialogue is taken from the actual recordings that Nixon made, so it's true to history. And then it's interspersed with interviews with Bob Woodward, Carl Bernstein, John Dean, Leslie Stahl, other sort of major players from that area and from that era and from that story.
Now, is it all a look back, or is it all presented with as like sort of a mirror to what's going on now? We've seen a ton of guilty pleas by, you know, Manafort and Cohen, and the list goes on and on. Flynn, but is it trying to be reflective of the now as much as it is looking back?
I think not overtly. Overtly, it is telling the story of what happened then, but I think, you know, you would sort of have to be, you know,
under a rock,
right?
Under a rock to sort of not see the relevance. In fact, some of the same players, like Roger Stone, appears then and appears, you know, in the current administration as a major player. So,
and what new do we learn about Watergate? Because it's been, you know, it's been dissected so many times, including all the president's men. But like, or what makes this so fresh? Just the benefit of even more hindsight and all these interviews with Woodward and Bernstein.
Well, yeah, I think some of it is looking back, because now if you look at Watergate, you can talk about the impact of it. You know, what has it meant to the political life of the country? You know, it really did change things. It was an epical event. So you can look back at it, you know, in that sense. And I think also, you know, when this story was last treated cinematically, it was All the President's Men, which was really, you know, about sort of almost like Spotlight, you know, was very much modeled on the Watergate film, on All the President's Men.
The two ultimate newspaper movies in my
Absolutely.
Mind.
Absolutely. But this is more about actually the story itself underneath. And so there hasn't really been a film that's kind of taken the recordings that Nixon made mm-hmm. and brought those out for the public. So I think it feels very fresh that way. There's also, you know, a whole generation for whom this is just a page in history, mm-hmm. but it actually had a lot of impact, and this is kind of bringing that out. So I think it's a fresh look at a really important story.
Exactly, and Charles Ferguson is an Academy Award winning filmmaker of Inside Job, among other things, yeah. and he's extraordinary.
Will he be here?
He will be, indeed, and some special guests as well.
So you do a panel after the
Absolutely.
Movie?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what's cool about this.
In fact, every single one of our films has a panel afterwards with the filmmakers and special guests, thought leaders, subjects.
So great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Spotlight one. You had all the real life journalists that came, and I think it was David Simon from
Moderating.
The Wire
did
the moderator. Yeah, I mean, come on, you guys always did the best of the best. All right, well, that sounds like a great opening night. Sort of, I think, bookending it, closing night. It kind of ties in a little, right?
Yes, absolutely. For closing night, we're showing Divide and Conquer, the story of Roger Ailes, which is all about, you know, Roger Ailes, who built up Fox News and was really the power behind a number of important political figures, behind building them up. And, you know, his last major project to get somebody elected was actually Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And it so happens that the day that Trump was, you know, being nominated to represent his party in the election was the same day that Roger Ailes was forced to leave Fox News, and his
slide
began.
As part of the Me Too movement and all that
Exactly. Yeah. Right, exactly. So his whole, you know, his whole sort of empire just crumbled. But this is really kind of looking at some of this, the same phenomena that we see in Watergate that are very much under wraps and sort of held very close, but now up front and updated, because you didn't have a Fox News, you didn't have a Roger Ailes, you didn't have the internet, you know, all of these social media, all of these developments that weren't existing in the 1970s when Nixon had his moment of reckoning, are now part of the political scene. And so it's in a sense a story that began with Watergate, and then the closing film is bringing it up to date to our time.
Mm-hmm. Does it focus, does it go into the Me Too stuff at all?
Absolutely.
Or is it more about the building of a network?
I think it's a number of things. It's about the building of the network. It's about Roger Ailes' own personal story, what drove him to be motivated by this. Begins quite early in his own life, in early formation. And then it does indeed certainly spend some time in the Me Too movement, because that was such a critical factor in his demise.
Did we go into any of the O'Reilly stuff there? Or, I mean, for that matter, Matt Lauer, I mean, Les Moonves.
Yeah,
I mean, it's every network being wrecked
featured,
by this.
Certainly it does. I mean, it doesn't, it's not an overarching pervasive theme, but it's integrated certainly, and it does go
absolutely.
Into it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, those mm-hmm. sound like a perfect bookend for to open and close it. Centerpiece film. What do we got?
So this is Ghost Fleet. This is made by an investigative journalist, which is always interesting, Shannon Service, looking at modern day slavery off the coast of Thailand and Cambodia, where young workers are brought on fishing vessels thousands and thousands of miles out to sea, you know, presumably for long stinted work, but then are kept there for, in fact, decades, sometimes at a time, imprisoned, enslaved. And this is not just happening off the coasts of Cambodia and Thailand. The film makes clear this is even happening in the United States, remarkably. But the film follows the investigative journalist as this is being uncovered, but particularly through the lens of an extraordinary activist who literally goes out in an intrepid, you know, with an intrepid group to try to find some of these vessels and to liberate some of the enslaved fishermen.
So they go out on their own vessel, or are they like a hidden camera kind of, on the actual vessel?
On their own.
Okay.
And indeed hidden up until a point of confrontation. It's very dangerous, but the filmmaker is able to follow them. Wow. This piece actually began in print. And it's always, we always are interested in film because of the nature of double exposure in films that take their starting point in print, and then you know what the filmmaker feels will be advanced by bringing
well,
it into the visual
realm.
Well,
that's the double exposure.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds powerful,
yeah,
and
very powerful.
Dangerous for the actual
Absolutely.
Filmmakers, and they'll be there to talk about their whole harrowing journey and the confrontation
exactly.
you're speaking about.
Absolutely. And they make an important link between when we go to the grocery store and pick up our seafood. It actually often can be linked all the way back to this kind of crisis. It may sound like a somewhat devastating film, but it's extraordinary. You meet an incredible woman who's really changing the world. It's beautifully shot. It's astonishing, the access. It happens to be executive produced by Paul Allen's production company called Volcan Productions. Mm. So it's a magnificent accomplishment on every level.
Wow. That sounds riveting. And to talk to them about just going out in the vessel, that's going to be
Absolutely.
Crazy to hear from them.
Absolutely. So brave.
What any other films we want to highlight?
Well, I guess our closing film is...
So it's after closing night. There's an extra day on
right.
Sunday.
That's right.
Just so, you know, just because you see closing night, there's one more day.
That's right. So it's a closing night, but we've got a day following.
The bonus.
Right.
That's What's the bonus?
Right. The bonus is the Panama Papers film, which was, I think alongside Me Too, one of the sort of major stories of recent years. You know, it uncovered millions of hidden assets through a company called Mossack Fonseca in Panama. And this was a project of a wonderful investigative reporting organization called the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. And it started out with a project from Süddeutsche Zeitung, and they quickly came to ICIJ, which brought it out and created an amazing network of hundreds of newspapers, news organizations, and reporters working across the world to get the story out. So this is telling the story of that collaboration. It's unpacking how did this huge story that is having such an important impact, you know, brought down Prime Minister in Iceland. It's, you know, it's leading to prison sentences and changes in laws. How did that come about, and, you know, what prompted it? So they talk about the threats and the idea of a collaborative response to threat, which is something we look into on the symposium side. But it's all about sort of bringing people together who, you know, can tell a story in a breadth and scale and in a way that makes it kind of impervious to the thing that we very often see in journalism, which is somebody targeting the reporter, trying to sue them or shut them down. This is a really brilliant example of how to counter that. And the story itself has, of course, made history.
Right. So yeah. The film, you know, takes as its focus, as Diana's saying, you know, the process by which this remarkable achievement happened, more so than even the outcome. You know, this incredible, unprecedented collaboration and how that came to be over, kind of prioritizes that over the actual results of the Panama Papers.
Wow.
And it's telling.
Yeah, I mean, the Panama Papers, Watergate, even Ghostly, all these stories we're talking about, you know, macro this for me as a way to wrap up, but it's all, I feel like journalists, especially now, so many of them get a bad rap nowadays, but explain to people that might be skeptical of journalists, like, think of the Panama Papers, think of Watergate. These are our modern day detectives.
Absolutely.
Are, you know, it's exciting stuff. It, you know, all everything you love about, you know, Sherlock Holmes and all, you know, these are the people in the trenches doing it and exposing these dark secrets and corruption to light. So explain why it's important to come out and not only enjoy a, you know, great time out and entertaining movies, but recast a light on why journalists and documentary filmmakers are important.
That's exactly why we created Double Exposure, because the work of investigative journalists is all around us. It's like it's in what you hear, it's in what you see, it's in the films, it's in, you know, late night comedy, it's everywhere. But a lot of people don't actually connect the product with the people who are producing it or with the laws that protect it and make it possible. So this festival is aiming to do exactly that, and in the breadth of the stories that we're telling, both on the macro level, but also on a very intimate level. You know, we've got one film that's about a single woman who is a domestic slave in a middle-class apartment in Hungary called A Woman Captured. It's an exceptional film. So on the micro and macro level, investigative journalists are taking huge risks to bring this material out, but we really depend on the public being kind of on our side, understanding it, and making the connection between what they consume and where it comes from, the laws that protect it, the business model that permits it to be sustained and to thrive.
And as you kind of noted in the question, not all of these films are made by people who identify as investigative journalists. Many of them are made by people who staunchly identify as a documentary filmmaker. And there is a difference to some extent in how they perceive their work and their mission and their process. But documentary filmmakers, too, are deeply committed to shining light on things that are otherwise hidden and taking great risks. And, you know, working very carefully to protect their subjects. So what we really enjoy is creating a space where we can both celebrate and kind of investigate ourselves, this kind of dual constituencies that are producing this critical work for us to, you know, to see and to respond to.
Awesome. Well, we thank you guys for pulling them all together from around the world, all these great stories and investigative films, and putting them all in one place so we can watch them, all 15 of them.
That's right.
Again, it's the Double Exposure. Love that title. Investigative Film Fest, 4th annual, Wednesday to Sunday, October 10th through the 14th. So everyone, get your tickets now. Check it out. Always a good time and an enlightening time. So just like when you guys come in, always enlightening. So
thanks
so much for going
in.
So
can we put a little plug in and just say more information at Double Exposure? festival.com so they know where to go?
Go for it.
Okay.
You just did. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Great. Thank you.